Angie is ready for a serious partner, but on his hunt for a long-term relationship, he keeps hitting dead ends. But maybe, could the key to solving dating problems for him be hidden in the past? This is Exit Interview. I'm Julie Krafchik.
And I'm Yue Xu.
And we are active daters turned dating sociologists on our long-running podcast, Dateable, where we've talked to thousands of modern daters over the last almost decade. I still can't believe we've been talking to people that long, Yue, but I'm really glad that we're using all this for this experiment.
It all makes sense now. And consistently in our podcast, we hear people wondering what they've learned from their past and how they come across. What are their dates and former exes saying about them? And how are they being perceived? So this is exactly why we wanted to do this project, the exit interview.
Yeah. And how does the exit interview work? We feature a dater who is trying to figure out why their love life isn't the way they want it to be. And we're talking to their exes, their past flings, their first dates, you name it. Whoever the right people are, sometimes friends will pop in. Friends always seem to know what's up.
Yeah, they do.
So we love talking to the variety of people that can give us some light into what might be going down for this person.
And today we are jumping back into the experiment with a guy who is ready to settle down in a real relationship, but maybe his past dating experience is exactly what is getting in the way of his future one.
Whew. I feel like, you know, holding on to an ex, we've talked about the gold standard or anyone that you think was that person for you that no one seems to compare. It is basically dating purgatory. Mm. I know I've been here firsthand. Mm-hmm. You probably remember this, Yue.
How can I forget?
I had that one ex that we all have that I believed was the one. And, you know, even after we broke up, it was really hard to date other people because I was so stuck on this fact. And, you know, now being in a partnership that's so much more of a partnership, I can see it. But at the time, I couldn't get out of my own way to realize that there might be someone better suited for me that mm-hmm. actually wanted to be in the relationship with me.
This is such a product of the terrible dating advice we've received over the years. And the most terrible one is the way to get over someone is to get under someone.
Oh my God, so, yes.
We think, how do we get over an ex? We go out, we meet other people, we sleep around, we have a good time. That is what we call a distraction. And what you're not doing is addressing the root of the problem. So then your problem actually keeps escalating without you knowing it. And one day it explodes because something will remind you of your ex, whether it's a smell or a sight or even the sight of cappuccino. You're like, oh, I remember getting this cappuccino with my ex. And then you are feeling so down on yourself because you realize you're not over them.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of it, it's what you were saying of getting back into dating really fast. And the other part that I know I've struggled with isn't just getting back out there, but holding them to this standard. Mm. It's almost a fantasy of the relationship you wanted to have that may not actually be accurate. I've personally found it's even harder to get over people where things don't play out the full way.
Yeah.
Like when you have a full-blown relationship and you've given it your all and you realize that we're just not compatible, at least you have closure. But some of these, you know, we've called them microwave relationships that are a couple months long that barely scratch the surface. There's a lot of what ifs and you're so in your head and you've almost thought this person is more of a person than they actually are. Which brings us to our guest today, Angie, who is such a catch. He's a successful professional, loves to travel. He's responsible and actually pretty romantic. So why can't he find love? Mm. So after we talk to his old flames, we have several theories and we're going to have to break them down all together and see if we can solve this puzzle. Please welcome Angie.
Angie, we feel like we know you because we've heard so much about you.
Hi, Julia. Hi, UA. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Good. We're so excited to have you on the exit interview.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
This is what we know about you, Angie. We know that you are a program manager for a major aerospace company. You currently live in Seattle. We know that you are passionate about traveling and that as of now, you've been to 32 countries and counting. That's a lot. We know that in your free time, you play tennis and golf and that you have a very set and dedicated routine. Wonderful. Now, in terms of love, you're ready to find a serious partner and you want to date really intentionally to find someone who will work for the long term. But so far, haven't had a lot of success and you really would like to know why. Well, we have a hypothesis, so we're going to present this to you.
Okay.
We are here today to answer the question, as you are so concerned with getting into a relationship, are you sure you know what it takes to be in a relationship? So think about that again. Getting into a relationship may be your focus, but what about staying and being in a relationship?
It's interesting.
We know you've been on a lot of dates, and sometimes that can be painful when they don't turn into more. When's the last time that you had that relationship or you felt in love?
I would say it's, about 3.5 years ago.
And then what's dating been like since then?
I would say a little bit slow, but I think part of it is, I've been on some dates, but it looked well on paper, but just didn't, work out through the first date.
Why is it that you want a relationship? Like, why at the end of the day are you like, all this dating is worth it? It's got to be worth it for something, right?
I'm very passionate about travel and, all this fun stuff. It'd be nice to share with somebody and do the things I love. And also, I think, settling down and just maybe eventually starting a family. I think a friend, somebody that you can talk to, somebody that can be your champion. I think help with each other's, strengths and weaknesses. So I think, relationship is like a partnership, also crept in my mind because, I'm, like I say, early 30s or mid 30s.
We always like to say early for that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I gotta think about that. My age kind of like, what does that consider? But, I'm the point in my life where I've got a good job, got family, pretty lucky. And so I think, to kind of add to that and build upon that and having that person spend, the rest of the life would be something, kind of the next step and next goal.
And how does family play in? Like, do you have pressure to settle down? Like, how does that play in for you?
That's a good question. I think my parents are, patient, which from an Asian culture is a little bit not normal, but definitely every time I call my grandparents, the first question they ask is, are you married or when are you going to get married?
Super relatable.
Super relatable, right? So, I would say, from my grandparents' side, I think, they care a lot. I think my parents' side, on the outside, I think they're patiently waiting, but I think are nervous on the inside, maybe.
No need to be nervous.
Yeah.
You can just hope for what happened to me, which is my grandpa lost his mind towards the end and thought that I was married with two kids. So it was perfect. In his world, it all works itself out, right? Until the day he died, he was like, yep, UA's in good hands. She's got her own family. And that's all we can really hope for is when our parents and grandparents become delusional. So that's a good thing. Yes.
And in like your ideal relationship, how would you spend time with your partner? What does like an ideal day look like for you?
I would say hanging out, whether it's, activities outdoors or, some fun activities, I would say throughout the day and then, the nightcap and just hanging out and wind down for the night.
Then with that in mind, who is the person in a relationship that brought you closest to your ideal partner?
Yeah, I would say my previous relationship, Mindy, was somebody that I felt, I think, really strongly. We didn't date long. But I think as we progressed along, I could definitely see somebody that I could be, with the long term.
It sounds like you're being held back by a previous relationship. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah. I mean, I would be honest to say yes. Yeah. I think she set kind of, I wouldn't say the bar, but the criteria of like qualities that are kind of aligned what I'm interested in.
Okay, well, spoiler alert, we did actually get a chance to sit down with Mindy, and you might be surprised with some of her feedback. But before we go into that, let's talk to your previous old flame, Davina. You two met on Plenty of Fish.
This was actually through OkCupid.
They're all the same, right?
yeah, they're all the same. Yeah.
Somewhere on the internet.
Wait, Julie, you and I met on Tinder, right? I got that straight.
Yep, definitely.
Just want to make sure.
Don't tell anyone, UA. We're not supposed to share that.
Oops. He edited that out.
No one ever remembers where they meet on dating apps.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
So why did you put Davina on your list?
I thought that, like, in terms of what was on paper, it was interesting profile, dated for a little bit, and then, you know, stopped. I think similar values, I think, just didn't align. And so I think I was just curious to kind of understand what, you know, her perspective was.
Shall we hear it from Davina?
I thought, you know what, I'm going to download a dating app. And then I met Anji. I like that he seemed successful. He had a lot of professional photos and had a lot of travel photos.
And when you meet in person, what were some of your first impressions of him?
I like guys with glasses. He looked nerdy, but I like that. So I thought, this guy's really cute. I went on a first few dates. I thought he had potential to be a good boyfriend. He's Asian. I'm Asian. And, you know, I just thought, this is, you know, I could see myself dating him. And I should add that I brought him home to meet my parents.
What?
We were going on a date and he was picking me up. So I told him, I'm just going to make this a really casual thing. I'm just going to run in and be like, hey, I'm dating this guy. He's picking me up. This is so-and-so. I brought him home and my mom, she's very traditional. So I knew she would like him. Like, she would fit what she would want as my boyfriend. And even my stepdad liked him.
Was there a conversation about what are we doing here?
No. I was waiting for him to ask, like, you know, what are you looking for? What are we doing? It wasn't like he was asking more questions about me, about my upbringing or my personal life. He cooked me dinner at his house. And I think by then it was like 5 dates, maybe, or 4 dates. And I thought, okay, this is getting serious. But the conversation didn't get deepened. The connection didn't grow. It just kind of stayed the same. We didn't talk about anything deep. You're just talking about, yeah, how's work? Where are your next travels? And wasn't personal.
And physically, did things ever progress?
No. Like, he didn't make a move on me. I might have kissed him. I don't remember, but it was not that memorable. That's why I don't remember.
Fair. Totally get it. So how do things ultimately end?
Okay, there's another thing that I don't know if I should share.
Please share.
So after I brought him to my parents' house, my mom was like, he reminds me of somebody. And I was like, who? She said, your dad. Not my stepdad, but my dad, my biological dad, my Indonesian dad. And then ever since she said that, I could not unsee it. Like, I just couldn't. And I think, you know, it was a combination of the emotional aspect didn't progress. The chemistry wasn't really progressing. And then he looked like a younger version of my dad. I think I slowly just kind of lost interest. I met somebody else on the dating app. And then Anji and I just kind of slowly stopped talking.
And have you spoken to him since?
I don't know if he told you this, but we live in the same building.
What?
We do. And I run into him in the elevator like 3 times already. What? It's so funny because when I try to connect to when my internet is out and I try to reconnect, his name pops up because he lives upstairs.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's like the funniest thing ever because last year I moved in. And then I just DM'd him. I was like, do you still live in that building? And blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm moving in. And then I told him, want to catch up. And then he said nothing. Like, he would respond with like a one text answer. I think he would be a good friend to have. And if I was single, I probably would give it a shot. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What advice would you give him?
Like I said, he didn't really make the first move. He was very timid, but I think he needs to be a little more proactive. I thought he had potential.
Okay, Anchi. The question on my mind, did you actually like Tavita?
I would say I was not fully all in. I think, we had some like mutual like, interests and stuff, but I just didn't see a long-term with her. And and that's why it was just more, I felt like for me, I felt it was more like a, more of a fling than, you know, like a true long-term relationship. Just let's just say that.
So, but from her perspective, you met her parents. This was definitely not a fling in her mind, but what made this a fling in your mind?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, she was very attractive. I think that that was more that than kind of the personality and the connection, I would say.
Okay. But you guys never hooked up at all, right?
So I have to disagree on what she said because we definitely did. You know, I'll leave it at that. But I mean, you know, I give her credit in terms of the points that she said about being slow, timid. Yeah, you know, I would 100% agree. I think for me, it takes a while to warm up to that physical attraction. And so, yeah, we definitely, if I remember correctly, I mean, we definitely kissed on the first date. So maybe it was not memorable. Maybe it wasn't. Aww. So it is what it is. But, you know.
Yeah. What about the dad comment? Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's surprising. That's interesting.
Never got that before.
No, never. That was way out of left field.
It's funny that like random things that you have no idea going on for people could be like the reason they're not attracted anymore, right? It's just
arbitrary.
Yeah. I wonder if that would plant something in my head. If someone was like, oh my God, your partner looks just like your dad. I probably would, I don't know, lose a little bit of my mojo with him.
Would it be ideal? I can see it. Yeah. Is it like grounds to break up? I don't know. I feel like you could like look around it, but I don't know. I guess it just depends how similar they are, right?
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, she's taken. She's in a relationship. If she wasn't in a hypothetical, like, would you have any interest in her at this point? Or has that kind of ship sailed?
We'll be right back after this short break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Would you have any interest in her at this point, or has that kind of ship sailed?
No, the ship sailed. I think we can be cordial and friendly, but I just, you know, yeah.
So your reaction to Davina's interview here is helping us cross off some stuff, you know, in our hypotheses. One of them was, oh, does Anchi like anybody who likes him back? And you're saying no. Like, if anybody, Davina, who lives right above you in the same building, is into you, seems like a convenient way to fall into a relationship. But you're saying, nope, I'm still not interested. So we're good on that. Let's talk to Alex. Your friend Alex had some more perspective on what is working and what is not working for you. We understand that you are friends with her and her husband. Why did you put Alex on the list?
You know, we've been friends over, 5 years. Personally, for me, I love to continue to improve. And so I wanted people who could give objective perspectives.
Well, Alex definitely did that. So let's hear it from Alex.
I would say he's just very sweet. He's very kind. He's very thoughtful. He's always going to make you feel safe and comfortable.
What do you think is getting in his way?
I feel like, honestly, he might be going for women who are not really, I don't want to say like suitable for him, but they're the opposite of who he is. He is introverted, and I feel like the way that he's looking for dates on these apps, he'll like find a couple of people that he'll go on a date with based off of like what he's really looking for in terms of like someone who is a little bit more out there, who's bubbly and forward. he wants someone who's opposite of him, but he'll go out with them and they'll like have no connection.
Is he introverted and more shy with dates?
I've been on like a double date with him before.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what was that like?
He was surprisingly very affectionate towards her. And this is somebody that I call her the one that got away. Her name is Mindy. I mean, she was more outgoing, which brought out a more fun side of him. But I know that that didn't really end well for him. And I feel like part of the reason why is the lack of open communication and what like he actually felt and what he like wanted versus what was said out loud. She like moved and that basically like ended it. And I know he was like super crushed about it.
So in your opinion, who do you think would be an ideal partner for him?
He probably needs someone who will take the lead because I think that he struggles with it a little bit because I don't think he's an overthinker, but he is in his head. Like he'll have to think things through before he says anything at all.
Is there any advice or feedback you would give him?
To be a little bit more freeing in his thoughts and the way he expresses himself. I think that there's someone out there for him for sure. I just feel like he has to be open to looking outside of like the type that he's been going after.
It's interesting.
So what do you think about her comments about choosing people that might be the opposite of you, maybe not the right type? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer. I mean, yeah, maybe I've been looking for the wrong people or I don't know. I don't know.
We don't think it's that saying that you shouldn't go for women who are extroverts because it makes sense. You're obviously attracted to extroverted women, but maybe what she's saying is that you are kind of in this shiny object syndrome where you go for like that energy in a room versus like going for that connection or maybe a specific look of a girl. So it feels like you're boxing yourself in to a specific type.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I do think actually people that are more introverted and extroverted complement each other quite well. Like I know I bring out that side in my partner having more of a bubbly, outgoing personality. He brings me a calming energy. So I do think it actually can work. But what I'm hearing from Alex and also from Davina is it takes you a while to show that side that you're more extroverted, you're more outgoing, you're more bubbly. And, you know, it's understandable, like dates are awkward inherently, like to share all this right away with someone brand new. But I'm wondering if there's a way that you can kind of open up a little more with some of them and, you know, go a little deeper. Because I think like for me, my partner is introverted, but he was a very good conversationalist and that got me excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe be vulnerable and just kind of sharing stories or, I mean, maybe that's an area that I can look at and try to show that more of that vulnerability.
Or maybe think about what does this person bring out in you? You know how Alex loved seeing what Mindy brought out in you. You were affectionate. You were playful with her. So let's try flipping this. Instead of thinking I need to be with someone extroverted, let's try, I need to be with someone who brings out the extroverted side in me, like Julie was saying with her and her partner. And now speaking of which, I think it's time for us to turn to the old flame we've all been waiting for. And honestly, this one we were most excited to talk to.
Okay.
Alex calls her the one who got away. Her name is Mindy. And it seems like you feel the same, right? So this is a relationship you brought up several times. It's obviously someone who has been very important to you. So let's talk to Mindy. But first of all, I just want to clarify, you met her on Tinder, right? This one was actually Tinder
or OkCupid. We're still confused.
You met online.
This was OkCupid.
Okay, so she said Tinder. We don't know where you're meeting these people. Somewhere on the internet. They're all the same, right?
Yeah, they're all the same. Yeah.
We already know why you put Mindy on the list, but in your mind, what happened there? Why do things end? Why does she get away?
Yeah. No, I there's a couple of things because she was going to move back to China. And my mindset was, you know, I didn't want to be, I guess, at the time, I didn't want to be kind of the roadblock and stand in her way, and wanted to be kind of the cheerleader and really, you know, kind of advocate and, you know, just go for that opportunity. I was a little bit more reserved. I never communicated those feelings, you know, what I wanted.
And it sounded like, you know, even from the beginning of this conversation, that you still think about Mindy. There's still feelings there.
For me, you know, I think she set the criteria of like, okay, I think these are the qualities that are kind of aligned what I'm interested in. Mm.
Well, I think it's time we give the floor to Mindy.
We had a nice dinner and I was kind of like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm moving to China. So he was, oh great, I can speak Mandarin. Let's practice Mandarin. So we kind of met up a couple times after. Although I have to be honest, we never spoke Mandarin. So, and then we dated for about 2 months.
What happened after that?
After I moved to China, he was really persistent. Like on my birthday, he called me, which I was like, oh, like it's midnight over there or whatnot. It was like really late. And then he kind of reached out again and was like, oh, by the way, I have some holiday and I love to travel. So I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Why not? Why don't we go on a trip together? And on that trip, he like asked me to be his girlfriend. So I said, yes.
Did you feel like the romantic connection to him?
I remember talking to my mom about him. And my mom was like, well, Mindy, like you're always chasing like a fun, like passionate relationship. And over time, those things may die down. You really want like a good guy that you can count on and, you know, that have the same values.
And what happened next?
On that trip, I'm kind of the type of traveler that like I go travel with no plans. But he's a meticulous planner. He literally built this like big spreadsheet, planned the whole entire thing.
Oh, that's interesting. How do you feel about that?
I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like I thought that was so sexy. But when I traveled with Andrew, what I learned was that everything was planned to a T. Like we could not change a dinner reservation because it was planned. So then I was like, okay, great. Let me just like hurry up and get ready. I got ready. We got to the restaurant. We were the only one there.
Wow. So you had already moved to China at this point?
I still have my apartment in Seattle, but it was like the lease was coming up. And I actually flew back to Seattle with him to like decide, oh, do I want to extend my lease? And when I came back to Seattle, he upgraded himself to business class while I was in economy.
Wait, wow. What? Oh my God.
Yeah. Don't want to have to do that again, you know?
Oh no.
Anyways.
So what happened after you got home?
I went back to Seattle, which where he lived. Even while I was there, he wanted to like only meet up once a week.
Wow. Okay.
Well, because he was working and then he was studying, like getting his master's in the evenings. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, well, we don't need, like, we can just be in the same apartment and like you can study. I can watch Netflix. Like, isn't that kind of just being together? But it's like, no. And I was like, oh, well, okay, that's, I don't feel like a priority. I feel like he likes the idea of having a relationship or that he feels lonely. But when it comes down to actual being together in a relationship, I didn't feel like he was ready because I was like, well, now I'm here. I was in Asia. He literally called me every single day that he was on his way to work. But then when I was in the state, he did the same thing. So I was like, oh, is this like a part of his routine? Because that was kind of like the only time I talked to him. This is kind of a pretty big decision I need to make in my life. And I just don't feel like I have received the confirmation to kind of stay in Seattle. I was kind of like, well, this was such an exciting opportunity personally. And I don't want to give up for someone that was only willing to meet me once a week, even when I was in town. And then I got on the plane and left.
Did he initiate anything? Like your first kiss, who initiated that?
Oh, he did. And he was, again, it was something that I felt like he jumped into and I was kind of like, oh, okay. It wasn't like, you know, we were staring into each other's eyes during like a long conversation or like, you know, a dance or whatever. And they just happened naturally. I feel like it was something that he really wanted to pursue. I just didn't feel like he wanted to kiss me. I feel like he wanted to kiss like a girl. And I feel like that was a feeling that I consistently got.
which is not a good feeling.
No.
Do you ever think about him, or is it kind of in the past?
It was just a 2 months experience from my past.
So if you had some words of advice for him, what would that be?
Well, I will actually be asking him some questions, like, what kind of dater does he think he is? Like, what kind of relationship does he want?
Huh. That's tough to hear.
Well, your head was down the whole time, so I couldn't see your face, but I can only imagine what you were thinking. Why didn't you fight for Mindy when she was back in Seattle?
It's the million-dollar question. Probably one of the biggest regrets.
Go grab a sip of water. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I made a huge mistake. Like, you know, I wanted to give her that opportunity. She wanted to go for that job in China. And so my mindset was, I don't want to block her from that opportunity. You know, it's probably the one of the biggest regrets I didn't do.
How do you feel about what she said about feeling interchangeable? Like, it wasn't her that you liked. It was just a girl, or wanted to kiss a girl, not Mindy.
That's tough to hear, because, you know, I think that wasn't my intention, and it sucks to hear. So, yeah.
Mindy makes it very clear that you put in a lot of effort to be in a relationship, to get in a relationship with her, but then there was not much effort in staying in a relationship or being in a relationship with her. You did a lot to fight for her in the beginning, but then when she did move back to Seattle, you only saw her once a week. What was the reason for that?
I don't know. I guess I mean, definitely was more than once a week, but I mean, yeah, to be like a better boyfriend, in a better relationship, I think there was opportunity where I could have done better in terms of, you know, being there. And I mean, I acknowledge there should have been more FaceTime.
I'm having a hard time understanding this. In the 45 minutes we spoke to Mindy, she said she was going to China for personal reasons, wanted to explore her roots. But her job opportunity in China seems to be a major part in your story. So I feel like there must be some miscommunication or disconnect here. Because in her eyes, you fought hard to be in a relationship. She moved back to Seattle. And then she's like, now what? You haven't made an effort to be in a relationship with me. In your eyes, Angie, what I'm hearing is you wanted to be in a relationship with her. When she came back to Seattle, you didn't want to hold her back? Is that what was happening?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there's truth to, like, she wanted to get to know her roots, but I know, you know, she was very interested in the tech roles in China, as the startups, because that's what she's really into, startups.
But those are in Seattle as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Just saying. Throughout this, there's also some other disconnects. Like, I know the once a week was surprising to you. You felt like it was more. Did she ever communicate with you?
There was some miscommunications that if I were to talk to her again, I mean, that's something I would love to kind of talk through if we're given the chance. And I remember this was closer to, you know, towards the end, you know, I remember, you know, we were staying together at her apartment, and just, I remember while she was sleeping, I just couldn't sleep at the time. And then just wrote like kind of a letter, or like just to kind of share how I feel. And yeah, I mean, I just, yeah.
Wait, did you share the letter with her?
Yeah. No, okay. You know, it was pretty emotional, but I mean, it was, but yeah, definitely like at the middle of the night, wrote the letter. And then in the next morning when we woke up and kind of shared that with her.
It's interesting that you like bared your soul through this letter, but she still felt this interchangeable feeling, like, or it was on Angie's schedule, even when you were traveling, not being able to spend a lot of time together, like things that don't feel like this person wants to be with me, even though it sounds like you really wanted to be with her. Do you see like this disconnect a little?
Like I think she was giving some hints, but I don't think we really kind of talked through it.
I think moving back to Seattle is not a hint. That's like I'm shaking you because I'm telling you right now I like you.
And what's burning on my mind is this travel upgrade.
Yes.
Because I saw your face as soon as she said that. Do you remember it going down that way? That you upgraded to first class and left her behind in coach?
No, I mean, like, that's actually a surprise. I don't recall that.
Oh, it definitely stuck in her mind, that's for sure.
Stuck in my mind, too.
I honestly don't recall.
You know, I don't want to diminish your feelings for Mindy at all, because 100%, like, there was something there for sure. But I also feel like maybe you are getting caught in this, like, illusion of Mindy, like this feeling that you got from Mindy, because at the end of the day, like 2 months of really being together, like it's not that long to really be in it. I'm saying this as someone that's been here before, that I've gotten hung up on an ex for years and it's prevented me from moving forward. And now being the relationship I'm in, I'm able to see that why I was so attracted to him is because it was the first time I felt a lot of these things. And he brought out a side of me that I really, really liked. And I wanted that more. And I think sometimes we can get caught in this fantasy, especially when months and years have gone by. And I just don't want you to get held back because of this, you know, memory of Mindy that may or may not even be fully accurate, in the sense that, like, for her, it felt like there was a lot of connection missing.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I have to process this and kind of think through, you know, but I mean, initially, yeah, maybe I would acknowledge that there are some things definitely where, you know, I struggle a little bit.
Let us help you process through this, though, because I know this is probably a lot to think about. There's a certain level of getting stuck on the image of someone.
Yeah.
And I think you're both guilty of that. You are every Chinese mom's dream. So to her, she's like, and she's it. Gotta make this work. My parents would be so proud. And she embodies the characteristics of your ideal girl. You know, she's extroverted, adventurous, loves to travel. But when you two came together, there was no extra effort to make it an actual relationship. You are both very much fixated on the idea of each other. So what you're getting stuck in the mud right now is not so much Mindy, that relationship with Mindy. It's that you're getting stuck on the idea of Mindy, and you're feeling like you can't move forward because you feel like, oh, I had my dream girl. I let her get away. We're here to tell you it's time to move forward from this, because Mindy was not the right girl for you. And how can we close the loop on that? Maybe it is contacting her again. I mean, the fact that you put her on this list is she was willing to come on the show to talk. That's great. Maybe there's an open door for you to reconcile the end of this relationship and put closure to it, so you can stop hanging on to the possibility of Mindy. I truly feel like the possibility of Mindy is gone. Find that closure. How do you feel about that? Just talking to her again.
That's something I've welcomed. Like, I'm definitely want to do that, you know, to kind of talk through it. I think it's healthy to talk it out and bring it to closure.
And I think Mindy gave you something really beautiful. Like, she showed you that you can really care about someone and you can really, like, you know, open your heart up to a relationship. And for that, she came into your life for a reason. Absolutely. So the more you're hanging on to, I should have fought harder, or she was that one, like, there's not going to be anyone out there. And again, I know I did this for years, and I'm saying this to you as someone that I'm hoping you don't have to do this as long, because it's like a really hard place to be. And the reality is, like, no one is going to compare to Mindy that you meet, because no one is Mindy. And that's okay.
Even Mindy's not Mindy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, like, good that you're taking inventory on the qualities about her that you like. That's super important. But how do you, like, abstract it out more, so you're not looking for the carbon copy of Mindy, but what makes you come alive? Like, what was it about Mindy that you really liked? And how do we use this to propel you forward?
I'm introverted. I'm somebody who's very analytical. Maybe a little tad overthinker.
just a tad.
But that comes with being an engineer. I believe in having someone who has, like, your weaknesses as their strength, and like somebody I think who can bring out that extroverted in me, somebody that like who is a good communicator, because you know I'm not good with words, right? As an engineer, we tend to think things, but not really good with how to say things. Yes, and I think some of those qualities that can propel, right, and bring me, like you mentioned earlier, about how does that person impact me, and not just myself, but they also, like, you know, how can I impact the other partner, right, and both bring the best out of each other.
Well, Angie, don't be so hard on yourself. You are trying to find bugs to fix. And what we're asking you to do is to find bugs to learn from. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things you're doing right. Everybody we spoke to says you're sweet. Again, you're every Chinese mother's dream. You make a really great first impression. You are persistent. You are well-traveled. You are successful. You're confident in your life. And also, you're romantic. I can't believe you wrote that letter for Mindy. That's the first time we're hearing it. You have a romantic side of you. And you're extremely organized. And in Mindy's words, that's very sexy. But here's the thing. You can't engineer your relationship. You can't build a relationship on a spreadsheet.
Hold tight. This exit interview will continue in just a moment.
You can't build a relationship on a spreadsheet. A relationship is like coloring with watercolor. Have you ever tried to color with watercolor? You get like the basic gist of the shapes, but things are going to go out of line. The colors are going to blend together. It gets a little messy. And that's the beauty of a relationship, is that you have to stay versatile and flexible and not so much on a spreadsheet, because nothing will go as planned in a relationship.
What does Angie want? They didn't know a lot of times. Like, they were questioning it. And in the case of Mindy, you did want it. And how do you show that more? That's really being vulnerable. I know we've thrown that word around a lot, and it's quite the buzzword this day and age. Everyone is vulnerable and doing that. But how do you, like, share with someone and put your heart on the line that you do want to be with them and you do want to get to know them beyond the surface level stuff? And how do you start to go deeper with them so they don't feel like they're kind of interchangeable or disposable?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree. No, I totally agree what you guys have said.
We asked you at the beginning, what is your ideal day with your partner?
Yeah.
And you described activity after activity after activity. And when you think about a relationship that way, it is interchangeable.
Yeah.
You can plug and chug anybody you want and go on those activities with them.
Yeah.
But maybe think about, what is my ideal day with a partner in terms of how I feel around this person? I want to wake up feeling safe and loved. And I want to feel energized. I want to feel encouraged and motivated by this person. And maybe by night, I want to feel so comfortable that we just fall asleep just watching TV or talking to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Mindy, like, one thing you can do is think about, how did she make you feel? Like, what was it about her that you enjoyed being around? And then how do you equate that to what does Angie want in a relationship? Instead of focusing on Mindy, the one that got away, let's focus on Angie of, I'm going to use all the data I've learned from my dating experiences, from my friends that have contributed from this exit interview to, you know, move forward.
Totally agree.
Well, we have to hear from you. What is the one action item you're going to give yourself?
You know, based on kind of through our interview, I think definitely opening myself up, showing who's a real Angie, and be myself and take the learnings from the experiences that I've had so far.
So how are you going to do all that? That all sounded really great in theory.
Like, from an actionable step, maybe it is starting with a non-threatening environment, like to a friend, like, for example, let's say to Alex, and then applying it to when going on dates, and maybe that will help that, right?
I think it's good to practice with friends and people that might not be the real deal, but also don't want you to get, you know, scared to actually do it for the people that are either.
Right.
Okay, so the question we asked at the beginning was, are you so concerned with getting into a relationship that you don't actually know how to be in a relationship? What do you think after listening to this?
I think in terms of wanting to be in a relationship, I think there needs to be, I think, time to for myself, you know, and to make sure I, can show who I am. I think first to really, before really thinking about like wanting to be in a relationship, right? I mean, I think just to show again my true self and kind of break down those walls.
I think the practice of relating to others is so important for you. Hear that other person's need, understand what they want. How do you two work together and compromise, not be so rigid in this is only my way? And, you know, it's really sexy in some ways to have the spreadsheet, but also there was times, you know, at the dinner, for instance, like there needs to be some give or take and take into account the other person, or you're really just in a relationship with yourself or just kind of the idea of a relationship again.
Yeah.
I would revise our initial theory as, are you so concerned with reconciling your regrets with Mindy that you don't actually know how to be in a relationship? That would be a better hypothesis for you. And I would say in the your first action item, I loved what you said, but I think first and foremost is to be courageous to speak to Mindy and close that loop. Let's find closure there, because you even said it yourself. This is what's holding you back.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably giving you anxiety to think about it, but the door's open for you to close it now.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you learned a lot today, Anshi. I know we did by having this conversation with you. I think a lot of people can relate. It's easy to hold on to the one that got away, but all that's doing is preventing you from being with the right person that you can share like a real full-fledged committed relationship with. The good stuff.
Yep. Understood. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for being brave and being on the exit interview. Yeah.
No, thanks, UA. Thanks, Juliet. And I appreciate it.
That really proved what we said at the very beginning of this episode, is when we're trying to get over someone, we're living in the fantasy of who they are and not the reality of what happened.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even the question we asked Anshi on here, are you more focused on getting into a relationship than maintaining it? That's the fantasy we've all been sold, right? The rom-com stop after the relationship begins. We think that it's all about just making it happen. And it's almost a little safer in a way, because then it's just your imagination at play of what's going to play out, not the hard work that comes with actual relationships.
What is so fascinating about this conversation is, you know, before we met Anshi, before we met Mindy, we thought, okay, she's the one that got away. Maybe he did some things that he should have done better. But after talking to them, I feel like maybe they were just not compatible for each other. Maybe this relationship would have never worked out, even if he had done all the quote unquote right things. So we really wanted to get through to him that, yes, you may have regrets about things you did wrong, but now it's time to move forward and know that there is a better suited person for you out there.
What I get from Anshi is that he wants someone that's going to help him feel alive.
Yes.
And that's why he put such an emphasis on this bubbly personality.
Yes.
But he also needs to invest in the person, not just the type. Mm-hmm. When she said that, it felt like he just wanted to kiss anyone, or any girl could have been there.
Yeah.
You know, my heart kind of sank for him. And in his mind, he very much viewed her as an individual. And I definitely believe he did, but he didn't show it.
And part of that is because sometimes we feel like once we get into a relationship, the work stops.
Yeah.
Like you did your thing. You accomplished something. Check that box. Boom. Nothing happens now. And that's, I would argue, when the work starts.
Oh, 100%.
And there's just so many cultural nuances to this conversation, too, that really hit home for me is in Chinese dating culture, it is about checking the boxes. Julie, I've told you about the singles events I've been to in China. You literally hold up a checklist and you go around and see if you check things off for each other. It's that's why this mindset is there.
It's wild.
That is the end of this episode. Next week, we're going to go back and check in with several of the daters you've all heard from so far. Here's hoping they've listened to our advice and moved towards a healthy relationship.
Ooh, the reunion special. Love it. So make sure to subscribe to Exit Interview to be the first to listen. And while you're at it, leave us a rating and review. 5 stars, please.
And while you're doing that, you can follow us on Instagram. Just find us at Exit Interview Show, or find us on Twitter at X Interview Show.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. This episode was coordinated by Katya Kupalian, creative produced by Samantha Martin, and edited by Jen Jacobs. We are produced by Abigail Steckler at Little Scorpion Studios, with executive producers UHU, Julie Krafchik, and Frolic Media. This is an iHeartRadio podcast. Here we go, don't linger on. I don't want to stay here no more. Just take a look around us. It's time to move on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.